You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
The baby is kicking in Helene's tummy. So much to the degree, I didn't realize this was. I thought it was like, oh, we felt the baby kicking. Yeah, you know,
like you can see the foot. It looks like a Japanese horror film.
It was not even that, but it's more like we'll just be like watching a movie, and she and it's like somebody punched Helene in the stomach. She's like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, yo, you good? And yeah. She's like, yo, this baby is kicking the shit out of
you
me.
You think there's a sniper out there, bro?
I'm like, yo, I'm going to have to talk to this dude when he gets out.
Who knew your baby was a Tottenham fan, bro?
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here in New York City, Midtown Manhattan, crushing it per usual.
We do what we do.
And so, okay, let's start with the thumbnail and the title and all the drama. It's in not White Hart Lane anymore. Why did I
think it's just Tottenham
just
Stadium.
Tottenham Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. Name it after a bank, like Americans do. That's how we do out here.
Bro, what do they got out there? They got Barclays. Is there another one? Is there like the Royal Bank?
The Royal Wallet. The Royal Purse.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Oh, I gotta go cash a check. Can you drop me off at the Royal Sachet?
So, yes, we all know Arsenal defeated Tottenham in the North London Derby. This was a game where Tottenham looked really, really bad.
They were completely taken apart by Arsenal. There were one or two moments where I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
Like Arsenal maybe sort of almost let them back in the game. But that's it. We're talking about one or two moments.
Yeah. And I think at this point, I mean, there were a lot of great performances overall. Some poor ones from goalkeeper Hugo Lloris, who right. I don't know.
All of Tottenham. All of Tottenham. I heard Son's name get called once.
Yeah, he barely touched the ball. Yeah. Harry Kane had a couple. He was probably the best player on Tottenham as far as, you know, creating some chances out of really nothing. But I think as far as I'm watching this game and I already know, you know, Martin Odegaard is a baller, is a beast. But this dude is playing with a level of swag and confidence that, I mean, this is what I want to say. This is what I love about Tottenham and I love about Tottenham, about Arsenal is I love the diversity even amongst the team. This has been an interesting thing. I've been seeing this on TikTok.
Diversity how?
If very much Arsenal feels like it is a strong representation of North London and what it looks like. Who the demographics?
Because there is just one Norwegian. So, no, but I get what you're saying. Like, you've got black players, you've got white players, you've got players from outside of that sphere.
Yeah. Right? Eastern European, everything. There's just a cool. Yeah. It's a
melting pot.
Yeah.
It feels very international, very UN.
And whether it's intentional or not, it is what it is. And that's a cool thing that you see at Arsenal. So what I'm saying is,
when you look across the hall, though, and you see Tottenham, you don't see that much.
It's not that much. It's not even I'm not necessarily making it saying there's something negative happening about teams look
like.
You're
just giving credit to
Arsenal. I'm just saying, it's a thing you notice.
For being an exemplary hiring organization.
But the thing that I am praising when it comes to seeing Martin Odegaard's play, who he was already a great player, he was at Real Madrid. But there's something to the North London sauce that he seems to be embracing. Mm-hmm. They're just like, bro, you're one of us. You know what I mean?
There's a little hop and a skip to a step that he didn't have previous. You don't get that playing in Madrid.
He,
you know what I mean?
They gave him the captain's armband, and he's like, okay.
And all you heard was, and he put it on. You're like, what happened? What happened to Martin Odegaard?
Just, you know, like level 20 upgrade to his saw. Like, this is Dungeons and Dragons, right,
is
bro.
Is team of the year, Odegaard?
he's just playing with a level of confidence and leadership and swag where it seems like Arteta's like, bro, do your thing. Have mm-hmm. fun out there.
Hey, buddy, get out there and, you know, swim around a little bit. Let's see what you find.
Yeah, and he, I thought he was just, again, spectacular. I mean, the goal he scored was...
incredible.
Was just, yeah.
You can't give him that much space, especially when you're supposed to be a wildly defensive team, to just back off of Martin Odegaard.
Yeah.
Even if his ability to find that through ball. Most people know he has this in his locker, but how often does he go towards, let me shoot this skipping rocket?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's absolutely incredible.
Even Partey had that shot that hit the
that came
the
off
post.
As like shin guard, by the way.
Dude. So that was one of my main takeaways. He was just spectacular. And this guy, I don't know how long he will be at Arsenal, but it's
forever.
It's very much feeling like he is just embraced the role.
He found a home. He found a home.
Yeah,
and for what was he, 30, 32 million? I forget how much it was, but it wasn't much more than
a 30. Deal.
Oh, a steal,
point.
Bro.
Yeah.
I mean, Mikel Arteta and Edu went into that negotiation wearing balaclavas, bro. That is an absolute robbery. And incredible.
So let's talk about there was a couple dramatic moments in the game. Obviously, Martinelli trying to dap up his homie Richarlison. Richarlison wanted nothing to do with that.
I can't tell if Martinelli was being sincere or like, oh, this will make the... Go ahead. Give me a dap.
Yeah. It's just like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but he was also like, he was so calm about it that I'm like, I wonder if he was just like, oh, Brazil teammate.
It is. The interesting part is like, Richarlison just got there. I don't know how much Richarlison... I don't think he has a problem with Arsenal while he was at Everton. I don't think he hated...
He's trying to ingratiate himself to the fans. But he came in and just... As soon as he was warming up, he was a goon.
Yeah, he did the smart thing, and you can't dap up an Arsenal player in the middle of the game while you're losing 2-0.
No.
Not a good...
Not at home.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, the scoreline determines who has the leverage in that situation. Martinelli dapping up a Tottenham player... Up 2-0 is disrespectful. Everybody's like, nobody's like, Martinelli, how could you dap up a Tottenham player? They're like, yo, why do you give him a noogie while you're at it?
You look what he's trying to do. He's trying to get him all caught up.
Bro, that's the move. So
I will say though, Richarlison did take it too far with everything else he did from that moment.
Well, he went in to be a goon, a shitster, I wonder if he will get a fine.
Wait, we're 15 seconds in, right?
He put his hand in this guy's face, in Ramsdale's face, and I wonder if this was right before he got...
But he also did a bunch of that. Like, when he was near Tomiyasu, he got, like, real close to Tomiyasu on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tomiyasu put his hand out, he slapped his hand away. Like, he was doing a lot of things to try to antagonize Arsenal players.
Right.
When there's one, really, you only need to antagonize, and that's Granit Xhaka.
Jamal said he apologized. Richarlison needs to go to therapy.
Richarlison, I think, did what he was supposed to do. You know what I mean?
I mean, these games are going to be, you expect some of this stuff, a little shithousery and stuff like that. And that's part of it. So nobody's really that surprised. It's when it goes to the degree of a fan jumping over, some of the seats and then kicking a player. This is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And look, there's violence in the stands. As horrible as that is, you somehow expect that people are going to be throwing stuff at each other or barking at each other, and you hope it doesn't get to the point where it's like kicking or physical. Getting onto the pitch, or even onto like the edge of the pitch, kicking a player and being loud back to your seat.
Right.
Seems like the wrong move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we can show this because this was a fan who filmed this. This is the dude. I mean, you see the dude right on camera. Kicking. I don't.
The first thing you see is Richarlison putting his hand in Ramsdale's face, trying to goad him into a fight.
Right, right. So this is what I was just mentioning. But let me see if this is too loud. And
I go even lower.
So look, I mean, yeah, you see the dude. He jumps over, kicks. Nobody's really even telling him much of anything. And he just runs out, covers his face.
The steward practically helps him get back up. He does this thing. I don't even know what this is called, but you know when you lock your finger, you're like...
A boost. When you give somebody a boost.
I mean, the term boost is appropriately used, but that's probably not the official term for it.
That's how I always refer to it. Yeah, give me a boost. So so this dude is... I'm assuming there's a manhunt. I'm sure somebody knows who this guy is, even though he was covering part of his face.
Great tweet. I forgot to save it, so I couldn't find it, but it said that Tottenham is asking the fan to come forward and turn himself in so that he can accept his lifetime ban. And 627 fans have already turned themselves in saying it was them because they all want a lifetime ban from being
because they
fans.
Don't want to see. Oh, okay. I thought there was great another tweet. One that I saw where it said that the FA is waiting to catch this guy so that they can fine Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. Remember, because Arsenal
for
crowding a referee, they've been getting all
so
these
stupid.
Anyway, so...
They don't want us to win. It ain't going to work, bro.
So this is... look, I mean, you don't need us to say, hey, don't kick a player. Even Aaron Ramsdale, after the game, he said that he was, there was a lot of banter back and forth with the Tottenham fans, and he doesn't shy away from them, he doesn't block them out. He was going back and forth with them, and he obviously said this was it's just a game of football. This is it's ridiculous. So you don't need to do this. This is an obvious open and shut case. It's
they
disgusting.
Gotta find the guy first.
I know Tottenham fans don't encourage it. Most of them,
most
don't
the smart
encourage
ones.
Anything like this. This is pretty stupid. So,
but let's talk about this. Is the first, and yeah, obviously, please don't kick players, and hopefully, no Arsenal fans try to get them back the next time they meet. You know, it's so stupid. Just leave that shit alone. Let the players play. Y'all could do whatever you want in the streets, I guess. You know. Also, don't kick each other. But let's talk about the fact that this is the first double Arsenal have had on Tottenham.
I just want to read this real quick. Nick Red said they're looking for that guy because he had the best kick Tottenham tried all day.
That's the new goalkeeper, dude.
His XG was stupendous, bro.
This is the first time Arsenal have won at Tottenham, I think, in like 6 years. Which is crazy.
Okay, yeah, there've been a couple of rough years.
And this has been the first double in 8 years, I think since 2014.
Okay.
So this is since we started the podcast. This is the first time Arsenal have done the double against Tottenham.
Sure. I mean, it's not easy to do that overall.
It used to be so easy to do
that. Well, times have changed, you know? I think the fact that this game was, I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive. I
thought Tottenham would show up for.
Yeah,
this
you
one.
Expect the contentiousness, and I've been speaking positively about Arsenal. They really have looked great this season, but it's more than simply just playing well. In this game in particular, you saw the effort. The energy. I thought Thomas Partey had one of his best games of the season.
Thomas, and this is my biggest fear, and this is where I want to take the conversation, because Thomas Partey, I think, is one of the things that he does well is most of the goals we've scored this season, most, have come from or started from Thomas Partey being pressured with the ball and him springing it out, which creates all the space for Martin Odegaard, who we talked about before. So, okay, we missed out on Mudryk, okay?
Right.
We missed out on João Felix. Shouts to Todd Boehly. I hate the Dodgers.
My man. Okay. Even Chelsea's missing out on João Felix as well. He got a dumb red card.
No, he showed up and he was like, yo, let me leave a little space in the midfield for Mudryk when he shows up. Bro, Todd Boehly is the human personification of this. Just if you're listening, I just pretended I looked over at someone else's paper. My guy doesn't know what he's doing. His scouting department is Fabrizio Romano's Twitter when they write the word Arsenal in it.
Bro, yeah, he's look, well, we'll talk about we'll figure out what happened with Chelsea, but the look, we're looking at the stats for on FotMob of the player ratings for Arsenal. Just all green. all chilling, bro. They were completely dominant. And I wanted the Højbjerg, and the Tottenham midfield was lost, bro. I don't know.
How did Sessegnon Young end up with a 6.9?
When you see the fact that, like, Odegaard got that shot off of, I think it was a long ball, and then, Arsenal won the duel, one pass. I think Saka gets it and goes right to Odegaard, blasted it. It just happened that fast.
That cut across, not overhead, but, like, along the floor, that sort of sharp pass back to the center of the pitch. Saka does that better than anyone
else. But there
else
should
in the
be Tottenham midfielders there. That's the point I'm
especially
making.
Especially if you're in a 3-5-2, 3-5-3.
There should be.
Or 3-4-3, I mean.
It should be pretty.
Where's those four?
It should be packed with white shirts in the middle. And Odegaard was absolutely wide open.
Especially little feet sticking out trying to get that ball.
So it really much, it felt like Tottenham was pretty lost in this game. But the
Conte's got to want to leave.
Yeah, look, when Odegaard scored his goal, when they put the camera on Conte, it's just not good. He's just wincing.
I think a baby kicked him in his stomach.
My man getting caught wincing in 4K.
No,
not
in 120 frames a second.
Not a good look. So the they were unbelievably dominant. It's just I think
player of the game was Aaron Ramsdale, which is fine, but I would have given it to Odegaard.
Yeah,
because the English like to use a term that he pulls the strings.
Right. And Mudryk, the Ukrainian player from Shakhtar Donetsk, we're making the joke about...
Not anymore.
He is now officially a Chelsea player, but...
This man was so thirsty.
I mean...
So thirsty to go to Arsenal.
This guy was just literally horny on main,
bro,
for Arsenal.
You know what? A girl in high school has photos of the quarterback all over the inside of her locker, little hearts, and then... The goddamn tight end comes up and goes, "You want to go to prom?" And she goes, "Yeah, all right." That's this. What happened to the quarterback? Bro, this dude, as a lot of people keep saying, fans, and for some reason, my Arsenal group chat, a lot of fans from England, they keep saying that he was twerking. This is the term they use for Mudryk being thirsty.
Oh, that's what a terrible.
What a horrific. Why are we putting that in my brain, bro?
Okay, I can't wait to see what his first goal celebration is going to be.
I mean, now you know what you got to do. He's going to take his, first of all, I hope he takes his Chelsea shirt off and he's wearing an Arsenal shirt and he points at the badge.
I love that Nick Red, who's a Tottenham supporter, said the player of the game was the on-off button on my remote. But Mudryk, if you're not extremely online like us when it comes to football supporters and football Twitter, Mudryk, we all know and we all knew he wanted to join Arsenal. Arsenal were in negotiations. They made an offer. I think it was like 60 million. It was what they were trying to like.
I think their final offer was 70 plus 20 add-ons. And Todd Boehly gave them, I think, 70 plus 30 add-ons.
But essentially it came out to about 100.
Yeah. 25 of which goes to help the families of Ukrainian soldiers.
I did see that as
25
well.
25 million.
Yeah. So it is great, but I saw this on Twitter of implying that this is a political involvement. It sounds like I hear charity and I'm like, that does sound good, but that just seeing that tweet may put it in my head like, oh, is this like some weird way to get money? Like, it's like, I understand there's a war going on, but it just feels, I don't know. It just feels like it could be shady, but I have no real evidence to suggest
that. So you heard it here first, folks. Christian doesn't want to help the families of Ukrainian soldiers.
It just seems that to involve a football club in that, like, a transfer deal is...
Think of the layer, though. That was Abramovich's club.
Right.
Yeah. So you're taking a former oligarch's club,
yeah,
and you're taking that money to then help. I mean, that's a positive way. Only Shakira could have thought of this.
it's a positive thing. I think I just saw that and it just the fact that they would involve a football club in some political donation in itself as part of the negotiation.
I think a political donation was involved in a transfer of with a football
club. Okay. I don't know. It just seems.
I don't know. I think it's a positive. And I'm not going to say regardless because they're like, you know, if you're like.
My skepticism just, I'm like, oh, what's the angle? That's all I'm saying.
Right. If you tell me, look, we're going to steal 5 cars and sell them to help the Ukrainian families, I'd be like, all right, well, don't do that first part. So I don't want to say.
Freddie said, why is Christian anti-Ukraine?
Right, bro? I didn't know you was all crescent moon and sickle over here, bro.
Don't use a player to do this. That's all. It just feels a little bit, whatever, bro. Strange. Anyway.
My mother right now mad at you, bro. Like, why are you defending Putin, bro?
Anyway. Okay. The Justin Freeber said Todd Boehly is clearly trying to put together the Besitos 11. Okay.
João Felix is not part of the Besitos 11, bro.
All right. I mean, it's debatable.
Can I also call out, just seeing this, the London is Blue podcast?
Okay. Wait.
You want to put this on the screen?
I'll put it on the screen. Here you go.
He said Arsenal in the mud. That was 1 minute ago.
Okay.
What you talking about? We top of the league.
I'm just doing all right.
What are you, 10th? What mud is this? Is this like a facial mud?
Just in London. We've been on
mud
London.
Mask, if you will.
We got to get London is Blue on the show so we can talk.
Apology for this for this comment.
I'm gonna like it, bro.
No, do not like
I'm
it.
I'm gonna like it.
Do not like that. Oh,
okay. Just to let them know we're watching.
Wow, dude. I protest 2 things: Christian's involvement in the Russian war, in the pro-Russian side of the war, and him liking his Arsenal on the mud.
Okay, but Mudryk, this is great because he did the Chelsea posted their announcement video. He does his announcement mentioning that he's going to be a Chelsea player. When we all know this man desperately wanted to be an Arsenal player.
How many Instagram stories has this man had to delete before he went to North London?
It's going to be a strange time at Chelsea, I think. I hope he does. Well,
now, before you click play on this, I want everyone listening or watching to just, it's a TikTok, right? So you don't see outside of that vertical frame. Just imagine Todd Boehly holding a gun to this man's head before you see this video.
He's like, do the video. We're not donating to Ukraine.
Yeah. I will send you to the front line.
So here's Mudryk.
Hi, guys. I'm very happy to be here. And I can't wait to see you all, guys. Hi, guys.
Okay, so that's what it was.
Could you play like the last third of it?
Okay. I mean, it's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be here, and I can't wait to see you all, guys. Hi, guys.
He kind of puts his hand up, and it looks like he wants to put both up. Let me start there. It looks like he wants to say, please, I did it. But also, doesn't it look like in his face like he's about to burst into tears?
There's a little bit of
like the.
I'm not. Yeah, he's. Look. We know English is not his first language. He looks, and a lot of players tend to be a little shy and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But
because he has a neck tattoo that says "talent ain't enough," and the word "talent" is crossed out, which I don't get.
I don't really get it either. But I mean, whatever. But you can see the discomfort. Mm-hmm. You can see given what we know and how much he just absolutely loves Arsenal. I mean, just the way you think of Mbappe as a kid with all the Ronaldo posters, and he loves Real Madrid and the whole thing. He made it, even during these transfer negotiations, he made it very clear and in some more subtle ways than others that he wanted to be an Arsenal player.
He said, come get me.
He told Shakhtar Donetsk, please accept the bid. And Shakhtar is like, no, we want more money for you. And there's somebody willing to pay.
Bro, when Arsenal, when it went public that they made a final official offer, he just posted the praying hands emoji in the stories. This man is as thirsty.
Made it very clear, but I love this.
It's like if a dog in a shelter could tweet.
Somebody in the comments here on
Cristiano
TikTok.
Pessi.
Cristiano Pessi,
name.
Which is great, but he just said, bro, join the prison, bro.
Skay said, why is he holding back tears? Which is exactly what I said, bro.
He doesn't look too happy. This is, so if Todd Bowley's,
more like Todd Bully, bro.
If his MO is, let me see what other teams want and let me go hijack that deal.
He is doing it.
But the negative thing here is when you get a player like this that does, not that he doesn't want to be there. It's exciting to play in the Premier League. It's a great opportunity.
Right.
His wages will be increased astronomically. I heard he was making something like literally $5,000-$6,000 a week at Shakhtar. I don't know if that's 100% true. I'm just saying it's going to go up more than what he's currently getting paid. So it's a great opportunity, but then you get a player.
Camilla Garcia said, it's official. Arsenal is now in the mud.
But then you get a player that you're going to have to handle these PR questions. He's going to have to deal with this from time to time. When Chelsea play Arsenal, there's going to be.
That's when it's going to be big, when they play Arsenal, especially if it's like an important game in some type of knockout, like an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup. Also, when he plays badly.
Yeah.
This will come up because the English media are, what's the term in Spanish? It's not chismosos. What is the term where they like the metal?
What's the term in Spanish?
Yeah, there's a term like in the way our Spanish, like Caribbean Spanish, that you would say someone who likes to like
joder.
Yeah. Son joderón.
Yeah, of course. And they're going to make it a bigger story than it really even needs to be.
Oh, and they're
going to
keep bringing it up.
Exactly.
So that it becomes a bigger story.
So this is why, look, Arsenal, and he was, Arteta answered the question about this deal falling through, and he said that, you know, we have to maintain some sort of discipline as a club. We're not trying to overspend. We're trying to, you know, focus on our players and make our players better and stuff like that. Does Arsenal need a player like him? I don't think so. But the problem,
I'm more worried about a backup for Partey. For what I said before, is he's irreplaceable. Sambi Lokonga, who I've often said, give him a chance. I'm like, look, we need to stop giving this boy a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or he needs a loan, clearly. But we don't have anyone of Partey's talent of stopping, you know, the attack coming and being able to spring our attack. The same way that Todd Bowley is buying all these players when the man needs to replace N'Golo Kante. You do not need another winger, bro. How many wingers do you need?
It is pretty wild. Kirby D said, let's be honest, Chelsea's rebuilding with no continuity. They're about to be trash, and all I'm going to do is smile and laugh at their pain. Okay?
Yeah, man. Todd Bowley has spent what? I think like 190 million since he came
in?
Feels
like more. But yeah,
crazy.
Freddy Alarcón said hashtag free Mudrick. That's it. He's gonna get that tattoo real soon.
Hell yeah! And they broke Christian Pulisic. He's injured and possibly out for months.
Yeah, I mean it was John Stones, but I understand what you
under
mean.
His watch.
Shout out to Freddy. Congratulations, Freddy. Just announced he will be having a baby. Him and his wife will be having a baby.
Get out of town!
Congratulations, Freddie.
We're going to see him in Orlando.
We're going to see him in a couple of days. We will be, I'll mention this, I'll continue. I want to mention Freddie again, but we are going to be in Orlando for the Premier League Mornings Live Fan Fest. Mm-hmm. You can see it on our pinned tweet if you want to register. We'll be the MCs, you know, chatting with the crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Just
go register.
Five-ing Rebecca Lowe.
Let's go. Tim Howard, the two Robbies. Okay.
I'm going to do this to Timmy H. That thing when you move your hand. And just see how Timmy Howard handles it.
Just said Tim Howard, hey, you got something by your ear, pod quarter.
Yeah, I got your nose, my G.
Okay. Can we treat Tim Howard like our nephew?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sit on my lap, Tim.
Congratulations, Freddie. Awesome. Shout out Gully Squad. He's awesome in Gully Squad. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. So we're going to have kids like a month apart.
It's crazy.
Something like that.
No, what you waiting? Don't throw me in there.
About you, Alexa? What are you waiting for? Okay.
Someone sent me a meme of a video that someone made a TikTok of someone making popcorn and a bunch of sweets and putting it in a baby costume thing, like a an outfit a baby would wear.
Okay.
And we're bringing a baby Bjorn into the movie theater. And one of the things they put in there was something called a Doritos walking taco. And I have no idea what that is.
Okay.
And that will be my baby. I need to find out. What is it? It's a prepackaged item. It says Doritos walking taco. And he just put it inside this sort of baby jumper kind of outfit.
Yeah.
It's like a one-piece shirling inside that I guess a baby would wear in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, everyone's like, isn't it crazy the guy's thinking food? I'm like, what's this Doritos walking taco? I didn't get a chance to look it up.
Del Boy said, that sounds like a racial slur.
We got a couple Doritos walking tacos in here.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So I don't know what it is, but that will be the baby that I have. So you and Freddie could change diapers, and I'll change my own after I eat the Doritos walking taco.
Can't wait.
It's prepackaged, so I don't think it's a Taco Bell thing.
Okay. I mean, should we look it up?
Let's look it up. Right. Who knows what it is?
I mean, this is, we have to take a break from time to time.
Actually, while you look this up, it's probably a good time to mention that this show is brought to you by Coors Light.
Let's go.
Little Coors Light. You know, Christian, when I get together with my friends, maybe to go get, some snacks like we're looking up
like
right now.
Like a walking taco?
No, maybe, possibly. One of the things that I want to do is have something refreshing to drink after it, right? And what is more refreshing than a nice cold Coors Light?
Very much so. I mean, we can have it while we're watching some games, watching Arsenal defeat Tottenham two times this season.
What's the most beautiful thing you've ever said? Probably that.
Okay, watching Everton collapse in front of my eyes, which we will get to in a moment. But Coors Light is the way to do it.
That's right. And so listen, first of all, you guys want to get it? There's only one beer out there that is literally made to chill, okay? And that's Coors Light. All right, the mountains on the bottle and the can, they even turn blue when the beer is cold. So there's no question. You ain't got to pick it up and put it to your cheek. You know what I mean?
is that a thing?
Or, you hit your friend in the neck with it real quick to see if it's cold. You don't have to.
Mm.
Boom. Right there.
you see the mountains right
Blue
there.
Blue mountains.
Okay. So when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill, get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Okay, so let's get a peek at this Doritos walking taco.
Okay, what is this?
Okay, so this is like the thing we had in Costa Rica, kind of.
So this is more like walking nachos.
Right,
what we
right.
had, to reference what Christian just said, for those of you listening, you can't see what's on the screen right now, but it is essentially opening a bag of Doritos by the side, right? That's essentially what it is, right? The long way, and filling it with nacho products. What we had was a bag of Doritos, essentially. It's like the
caldosa,
South American. Yeah, caldosa.
But it was
it's filled with ceviche.
Ceviche in a Doritos bag.
And that leche de tigre or tiger's milk, which is what you're supposed to, it's what gets you going, folks. that is in there. So you want to drink that. And now it's been mixed with the spicy chips. This is, I can't tell if it's, if it comes with the nacho cheese in it already.
I'm going to assume there's no assembly required.
Click on that one that's from the Frito-Lay. No, the other one.
This one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this should take us to click on the actual site so we could see it. Yeah, right there.
All right. Let's
see what okay, here we go.
This is taking us. Okay.
Except, you accept cookies?
Who cares?
Okay, do not click on the... Go to the first one.
I
want an explanation of what it is.
Nutrition facts.
No, don't click on that, bro. We don't need that much of an explanation. Introducing the walking taco, inspired by street food. You can add yummy toppings to your
Say
favorite.
Say yummy again.
I said yuppie. Yummy toppings to your favorite chips and eat your creation on the go. Find the walking taco in concession stands, convenience stores, colleges, and more. So it's just a bag of chips that you can open sideways, and I guess it's reinforced so you can stand it up so you can pour nacho cheese into it.
That's it. This is not really much of anything. It's just a different shape of a bag.
It's also not a taco. It's not a standing taco. It's not a sitting taco. It's not a running taco. It's not a jogging taco. And it certainly ain't a walking taco.
Damn, bro.
This is not a taco.
Damn, dude.
These are nachos.
Frito-Lay. You need, if you want to, you want to clean up how we talk about you, you need to sponsor this show.
Bro, okay? You better put some money on this show. Someone said, what the hell am I looking at? Justin Bieber said, the future.
Okay. So we talked about the drama at Arsenal and between Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yo, someone send us walking tacos.
We have to talk about the drama at Everton. Everton loses their match this weekend. Who'd they lose to? I don't remember who they lost to.
You forgot who Everton lost to already?
Yes, I did. They lost to Southampton, the team at the bottom of the table.
Couldn't tell from looking at it.
Everton in this game, I was impressed that they had as much possession as they did. I'm like, well, okay, there are
these like little silver linings to each match. You're just not getting 3 points.
Onana was great. Amadou Onana. He scored the goal.
He said, I'm the guy or I'm the
man. He said, I'm him. Okay.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Amadou Onana scores. He got a header off a corner. Great goal.
By the way, that guy who said, who do you think you are? I am. He dropped another heavy bars.
I did see that.
Something like, I don't know, I just go out there, you're the ones who watch or something
like
that. Yeah,
whether you love me or hate me, you watch. That's all I could do from that. And
bars.
Okay. So Onana does score. He scores the first goal. He has Everton fans excited to possibly win a game in a very long time. And goes to the camera.
A mere 7 minutes later.
Goes to the camera. Bangs it. He does the watch.
He taps on his wrist.
He's like, yo, it's time.
Whose time?
Tool time. Huh? Okay. So aging ourselves very viciously right now.
I don't know what that is. I remember seeing a repeat of it on my TikTok.
I didn't even watch Nick at Night.
Nah, fam. I'm asleep. I mean, I'm awake. Eating my walking taco.
That's all the kids are doing.
Right? Just TikToking and walking tacos.
Okay. I'm doing the running man with my running taco. He taps on his chest, looks at the camera. He's like, I'm him.
Yeah.
I'm him.
And he says more like Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know what I mean?
There he goes. Wow, roasted his teammate.
Damn, what are you, Shakira?
So I tweeted, I'm like, bro, this is the last thing you need to be doing. We do not have time for swag. We are in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
We can't be bringing our swag to the championship.
No, we don't need that. No.
Early
on, Jamal put, next year the Cooligans is going to be Christian updating us on the score against Stoke.
Coventry City. Yeah. Great game.
Yo, Huddersfield ain't bad, dude.
You know why? It's not MLS, but it's all right. I thought it was absurd. I mean, it was absurd, but it was like funny. I'm like, all right, this is like kind of silly. At least we're winning the game, right? It would have been different if we were down 3-1 and he does that, right? It would be much more comical. But in Everton fashion.
But also, you got to admit, you were hyped when you saw that goal and he did that. Because it felt in that moment, because I was watching the game. It felt in that moment like, oh, shit.
It could have been the sweatiest, disgusting goal. I could care less. I would have lost my... I would have been ecstatic.
And you would have been like, oh, Onana, dance on him real quick. It bounces off his back.
Why don't you kick Aaron Ramsey on his back? That's going to be the celebration.
Yo, go kick somebody. Go kick a Tottenham fan, dude.
So I saw that. I'm like, okay. Just not necessary. Seems, you know, Everton have no place to be confident about really anything right now. Mm. And yes, beginning of the second half, a goal immediately.
Yeah, it's, you know, you don't want to give up a score before the end of the half, and you certainly don't want to let them score a minute in like 12 seconds.
James Ward-Prowse, his first goal was great, and then he scored on a free kick.
Free kick.
But it's just like, that's their best guy. He's the only one that will hurt you.
Pickford didn't even move, dog.
Pickford didn't move. Mikalenko was like, he did the thing where like he was going to guard the near post and got there he got there 20 minutes after the ball went in.
Yeah.
And I don't even under it was just so much miscommunication because you saw Jordan Pickford point at Mikalenko like, bro, what? You well, I don't yeah. were you supposed to be, I don't know if
where
you were supposed
were
to
you,
be there.
Dog?
You're the goalkeeper yeah. who's supposed to tell everybody what to do, where to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I'm going to put that on Jordan Pickford.
Right.
And we know James Ward-Prowse is an absolute beast on free kicks.
He might be the best free kick taker in the Premier League.
At the moment, I think so.
Yeah.
Trippier, I think, is there. And
oh, no, he's not the only one.
But James Ward-Prowse has to be the best one.
He's probably also the most clinical free kick taker.
So Elijah Stubbs, I want to see Everton versus the Chargers. We just all lost in the playoffs. Jag off. Have you seen Jacksonville Jaguars one? That's their thing.
That is it?
They go, I'm jagging off.
Only if you win.
Okay. So the poor goals to give up in.
Delboy said Sarah McLachlan is videos for Everton fans because they have been so abused and mistreated.
We need a slow mo.
Spend no your time.
We need to see. I need to see tears,
bro. So should we? Do we all gotta go rescue Everton fans one by one, bro?
But Everton fans, even before this game, had planned a protest. They did a sit-in. Mm-hmm. After
a lot of banners too. After the
lot
match.
Of banners, but they're sitting like it's a civil rights movement, bro.
Yeah.
Happy MLK Day as well. That must have been the inspiration.
Right. So here's a little difference between that. I mean, there's many differences, but also I don't think any of the protesters paid to go through the gates to sit.
So look, but I respect it. I think Manchester United fans, they stormed the pitch in 2020 or whatever, 21. So I thought it was a peaceful way to protest and highlight the frustration.
It's a respectful way to do it. Yeah, we were there when they beat Arsenal, unfortunately, and everyone was planning to walk out in the 27th minute, but Everton was winning, mm-hmm. so no one walked out. Or they scored right before it, right? Everton scored just before it, so no one walked out.
Right.
Yeah. So and they've been, look, this is that's how long ago they've been talking about sort of protesting and trying to, spark a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's fair. But then there were a couple things. The board of directors did not show up because they were warned that that there was a security threat and they were worried for their safety. So as soon as it gets to this point, it's obviously gone insanely too far. So you hope that this isn't a thing that's commonplace with the club where people's well-being is actually in danger. So this is just
Denise Barrett Baxendale,
yes,
who is the CEO of Everton, a woman, was put in a headlock by a fan after a recent game, according to a club source who was asked not to be named for their safety. The Everton board did not attend the game against Southampton on Saturday due to threats to their safety. So the Everton CEO was put in a headlock and death threats are sent before Chiefs told to stay away. It's crazy. This is also not like a, not that it matters, but this is like an older woman as well.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
It's insane.
You can't put someone in a headlock, bro.
Headlock is crazy. And it's like that specific, just even that word being introduced in this context.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're going to headlock just like, you know, an older lady like
that's how you subdue a criminal.
it's not great.
And by the way, I don't know how old she is. She could be young, but you could look at her and you would say, like, this isn't a woman that probably started the fight. You know what I mean?
Fair guess. Elijah Stubbs said that's a scouse hug.
It might be, bro.
So
based on the soup y'all eat.
So that kind of stuff, I think it's been pretty clear, even, again, reasonable Everton fans are like, that's absurd and it should never go to that that extent. And so I want to talk about the.
Can I ask you about one of the banners? Because it said Farhad Moshiri.
Owner. Yeah.
Which is the owner. It said, if you didn't want to become a museum, why did you buy the Everton Football Club? I believe is what it said. You can't see because fans are blocking it.
Mm-hmm.
What is that a reference to? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean.
Oh, then why did you keep the club dinosaur? If you didn't want to become a museum, then why did you keep the club dinosaur?
So meaning that they, the Everton fans are frustrated that Moshiri came in and kept the same board, the board of directors, and essentially all the top staff. He kept the same people, the people that have been at Everton for years.
So the people who you would assume by this standard failed already.
And so look, we can talk about we're going to get to the stuff with Yerry Mina and Anthony Gordon but I want to talk about that aspect of it, right? Everton fans, I think, have gotten over the point of like, we need to get a new manager. They're like, it's not even. Frank Lampard has literally nothing to do with this, and they
ain't helping though. If y'all were winning, that would soften this.
Sure, but look, it's hard to say when we talk about the actual play. Especially in this game against Southampton, I mentioned this before, but Everton players make some of the worst decisions I have ever seen amongst any Premier League club.
So then this is from the top down. From the board to the pitch.
Right. But just even the players. I mean, look, all due respect to, like, we've had, like, Damari Gray on the show. And he scored that incredible goal against Manchester City.
Also, full disclosure, the Everton front office and the board have been really helpful to us.
Okay,
offered us players the interview. Yeah, yeah. We're going to see them in a few days, so we probably should be seeing them.
No. It's like we have to be as realistic and impartial as possible when we're just simply talking about what we see week in and week out. And Damari Gray has the ability to make incredible goals like he did against Manchester City, like the one he scored against Arsenal last year. But I think the last, especially this season, you can tell Lampard has said, all right, you're our winger. You're one of our strongest attackers. Go 1v1 against some of these defenders. Damari Gray gives the ball up. It must be about 4 out of 10 times he goes like 1v1.
Can I counter that with something? Did you pay $1.8 million for him?
Okay.
That's a $1.8 million player.
Yeah, but
it's
no excuse. And he's
played at a higher level than that. But there's a reason why he wasn't valued at 18.
Okay, so
which is still cheap.
That's sure. Fine. But I would never say that Damari Gray was a bad pickup.
No, he's been better than expected by a long 100%. Range.
But this is this is my main gripe with
But your hero can't be a $1.8 million player.
Okay. I don't really even care about the money that you're suggesting that the money you spend implies that what you're exactly going to get, when that's not always really the case. And
but
for
that's
the most
where the valuation comes from.
Sure, but just
for his,
there's
for his
plenty
club,
of players
I forget where it came from.
Plenty of players that have very low transfer fees that outperform what.
Yes, and I think he's one of them.
And there's plenty that underperform.
But you can't ask him to do everything.
I'm not asking him to do everything. Right. But he's not. He is giving the ball. I mean, if I'm asking somebody to not give the ball away, that's not. I don't care how much you were worth how much you get paid.
That was 2.5. You wouldn't order that option.
he gives the ball away too much. Anthony Gordon, same issue, kind of. There's weak links, and I think this is my biggest frustration with Frank Lampard is that a player like Damari Gray, for making mistakes, I think should be benched. Sometimes.
For who?
It doesn't matter. That's the thing. It's like there should be some. There seems to be no.
I get what you're saying.
Punishment,
but
consequence. Lampard hasn't said like, you haven't met my expectations, so you do not get to start. He has not done that, and that's my frustration with him. But I think that feeling goes across with the entire club, that there hasn't been a standard set, and the people who haven't met it lose their opportunity to keep that role.
I mean, yes, in a perfect world, and you know what? In hindsight, when you look back, and regardless of how the season ends, you're going to be able to say that, and people are going to go like, that's what should have happened. But in real time, Frank Lampard is not only fighting for his job, he doesn't want to be the guy that relegates Everton for the first time, right? The first time in Premier League history.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be the guy attached to that. He's trying his hardest to save his ass and to save the club and to save his reputation. Benching a guy like Damari Gray, yes, will seem like that's one of the things we should have done. In the moment, I can see why he's not doing it.
I can see it too, but I think that's a reflection of not of a manager afraid to make a difficult decision for the betterment of the club. So that's one, one of my of many problems. So the so I'm reading. I mentioned this last week. I'm reading Johan Cruyff's book, and it's.
Are you audiobook? Or are you actually reading?
I'm. This is audiobook.
Okay.
So and it's not.
Can you say reading if you're listening to an audiobook?
I think so.
Can you?
But put it in the chat. We'll get a
little
poll.
Stolen nerd valor.
Stolen. I also read books, you can get more
done. By the
way,
I do neither of the two. By the way, I'm. How many of you have read the last Cooligans podcast?
But he's talking about his time at Ajax and as a player, as a manager, as on the board of directors, a commissioner. Like that's just a huge chapter dedicated to him complaining about Ajax and in politics when it gets too like cumbersome and there's too many hands in the pot or whatever. I forgot the word. A bureaucratic. That's the word. It's way too.
You came to me for that one? You know I was gonna sidestep that.
He is essentially complaining like that the people that are the directors, technical director, everybody's, it's like way too political. Everybody's just like corporate. Everybody's just trying to get to the next spot. Some people don't really know. They don't know football. They don't know about the game. And this is what I feel like is happening at Everton, where the people that are making all these decisions, Everton have been around a long time, a successful club. And the fact that they have this consistency for years, you know, over time, you have a fan base that will never leave you. The money will always come in. You can
A lot of former players talk about how difficult it is to go to Goodison Park and to try to beat Everton in that place.
Right.
So it is very much a home field advantage. The fans are very much a big part of this club.
It's one of the few Premier League clubs that still feels old. You know, it feels old-timey. Yeah. It still feels like the even before the Premier League
y'all
existed.
Got that new stadium coming up. Y'all can't be in the championship.
So this is it just feels like that's what's going on, and that's what the protest was about. I think fans are done being like, I'm mad at a particular player or I'm mad at the manager. There've been nine managers in seven, eight years or something like that. It's been brutal. So they're trying something new. Yeah. Let's see who else.
Dude, it's un revolu. Everything is, so everyone is at fault.
And then this is when, I love Yerry Mina. And
why are these dudes parallel parking outside?
The players, look, this is another thing. This one,
get these guys behind gates or something.
This one in particular, this is Yerry Mina. He's trying to go home.
Right.
After the game, he didn't even play in this game.
No.
And fans they stopped his car and won't let him move.
He's also like 6'8". Like, you can't hide who you are. You can't just put a hoodie on.
He's the only Colombian in Liverpool. Yeah, yeah. So here is.
And they kind of got cameras in his face.
Okay, so the guy's yelling. You hear him. He's saying, "If we go down to championship, will you stay?" You know, a lot of these players have relegation like clauses that they can find another club if you know.
But can I just speak to Liverpudlians, mm-hmm. Scousers, all in just one? I just want to say something on behalf of Yerry Mina. He got no clue what you said.
I know his English is all strong, but then the Liverpool accent on top of that.
You can't with that mush mouth. Scream in a man's face who's from Colombia and expect him to. He said yes to whatever you said because he wanted to get out of there, bro.
And essentially, I'm gonna shut off the audio, but he's like, yes, like he's Okay, let me play it. See what, if you can hear what he's saying.
Help speak for the Chinese Jews of Latin
America. Okay, so this is he's trying his best to be.
Yeah.
He's tapping his chest, tapping the badge.
Right.
He's essentially like, I ain't going anywhere. I'm staying here.
Well, what's he supposed to say?
What's he supposed to say? I'm trying.
Guys, I actually haven't called my agent. And I got to get in the car.
I'm trying to get home. Okay, my family needs me. I know that this is a very important conversation, but I hate to do this. Look, at the very least, some people were really saying that this was disgusting. This is awful. Disgust is not.
They didn't like accost them.
Yeah, they. You know, look, it's annoying.
I can understand being so caught up in what's happening and seeing a player in front of you and saying, "Okay, I want to be able to say something. I feel there's something I need to get off my chest."
Yeah.
But the moment you realize there's a couple of people behind you, you have to understand what this means. What this looks like to a player, especially in a place, unfortunately, I'm going to say this, especially in a place like England that has had violence with fans in the past, you know, you don't know if someone's going to pull out a shank or something. This guy's just like, oh, 100%, am I staying, bro? I might buy the club, dog. 100%. Y'all mind just moving a little to the left so I can get to my car?
When's your baby's christening? I'll be there.
Bro, forget you naming your baby after me. I'm going to name my baby after you.
So I wouldn't go as far. Look, it's not a kick to the back of a player,
right?
But it is definitely frustrating, and the fans' frustration has now spilled over into, you know, bothering the players directly. And Yerry Mina,
is this gone too far? You think? Do you think the fans shouldn't be able to have direct access to the players?
It's two separate things. Should they have direct access to the players? I think that's fair and that's fine. Has it gone too far? Yes. I mean, this is, I would prefer to not see stuff like this, but even as loud and angry as this fan is being, he's not like, you know, deriding Yerry Mina.
Right.
He's so passionate for his club, and he's like, please, we need you. Stay with us if we get relegated. That's it. He's making that plea and just begging for players to show some heart, because fans feel like the players are not doing that. And we saw, and this is when one that goes too far for sure. Anthony Gordon got a lot of
hope. Wish that guy was the one who talked to him, bro.
Got a lot of stick because this is.
You fucking dickhead. Hey! Not bad.
Why are you paying attention to street signs if you're Anthony Gordon?
Gordon! What the fuck, lad?
Get out of our club!
Gordon!
Get out of our club!
What the fuck, lad?
You're not fit to wear the shit! You're not fit to wear the shit!
Okay, so that's about it. I mean, look, if you're listening, a fan goes and starts accosting Anthony Gordon, who is driving away.
Also, runs one of them starts singing at Anthony Gordon, but it's a violent.
He's like, get out of our club. This kid is like 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's like a Everton Academy kid. Like, this is...
Bro, he's one of your own.
It's also, and this is why I think... who did we talk to about this? I don't remember who it was. I just think the pressure is there's more pressure on players that are from Liverpool than
of
players that who are not. And I think fans hold Anthony Gordon, quite possibly lifelong Everton fan, gets to play for his childhood club and then eventually is on the first team. This is like a miracle, and then to have fans kind of turn on you like this for a kid who's still kind of figuring out his way and what his role. He didn't even start in this game.
The kid,
he did make the mistake, I believe, of fouling James Ward-Prowse that led to the seppies.
It's not enough to mess up the G wagon, though.
And fans are so mad at him, and it's childish. It's absurd. Like, I'm not saying to blindly just support the club and everything that they do. I get it, but stuff like this, again, just unnecessary and
it's uncouth,
right?
You know, it's making us look bad.
So it's a frustrating time to be an Everton fan, to be an Everton player. But after all of this stuff, look, I don't want Everton to get relegated, but watching stuff like this makes me want these fans to have to deal with the heartbreak of a relegation, because this behavior is absurd.
It's yeah, no, that shouldn't be allowed.
And look, I think
also you're 19 games in, so you are now halfway through the season.
Right.
So let's bring it back. We used to do this pretty much weekly last season.
Right, right.
Will Everton will Everton be relegated? This is after week 20, so 19 games into the season, you have a record of, I believe, 4 wins, 3 draws, 12 losses. Rough. You are sitting at 15 points. Wait, no, that's not you. That's Southampton.
19 games. Everybody's sitting at 15.
You are 15, but you have 3 wins, 6 draws, 10 losses. 15 points.
10 losses, bro.
10. Double-digit losses.
Mm-hmm.
19. One position away from the bottom of the table. Will Everton survive the drop this season?
I'm going to say yes, because I do think other teams are worse. I think Wolves are worse. Southampton are worse, even though they just beat us. I don't think West Ham is getting relegated either.
It seems like Bournemouth.
But it is so close. From
Wolves, maybe Leicester.
Between 20th and 14th is just 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen. Look, Leeds also took a bad loss.
Had you won, you would have been in 14th place.
Right. Yeah. Which doesn't really even mean that much anyway, because another...
Doesn't fill you with a ton of confidence, but at least you're not in the relegation
position. So my answer right now is no, I don't think so. Everton are not as bad as they seem. That's my optimism.
Yeah, I like what JG put. He said, fans are weird, bro. This is why I had to dial back my support to just being happy for my teams and players and moving on with daily living. And that's something that I think...
That man has gone to therapy. That is growth right
Yo,
there.
This man has dealt with his youth. You know what I mean? You and I think, experienced this when we were in England. It's a different... And passion and all that. But there's a different type of energy around when your team wins or loses.
It's life. It's life.
But it almost means too much. You know, at the end of the day, it's a sport. You know, and it's a sport you and I love. We've made this our careers. We've done everything we can to help propel this sport in this country. But to some people, it is unfathomable that they can think of anything else besides what happened in those 90 minutes for an entire week. And it's like, dude, that's too much.
I think it's a little bit of, you know, given that American sports culture is a little bit more diverse. There's a lot of people that watch multiple sports.
Right.
You go to England, there's not... I mean, there are people that are into... cricket or rugby, but nobody.
If your team loses badly, you can't be like, well, let's put on the darts.
Right,
you know what I mean? There
are people absorbed by that are as diehard NFL fans as they are NBA fans. And both of, you know, it surrounds their life. So even though there might be.
If you heard non-playoff, I want to pick a random team, Cardinals fans,
mm-hmm.
okay? Arizona Cardinals fans. Surrounding players, you know, fucking telling them off and running after their car, those people would be arrested in this country. They would stand out like sore thumbs, where people are like, look at the passion.
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing after a 19-year-old in a G-Wagon, singing songs about how they're unfit.
We need more
shirt.
Like him, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Justin Freeberg said, did you guys see Eric Winalda give his support for this kind of passion on Twitter?
I've seen a lot of Eric Winalda.
The last couple days. Not all great. I mean, did you see the back and forth between him and Lalas? Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow.
They both said, rah.
All I'm saying is I'm concerned for those two adult men.
That's right.
Okay. So are they going to get relegated? No, I don't think so, but it's still...
Tune in next week, folks. Make sure you read this podcast next week.
So the last Premier League thing I wanted to make sure I talked about, this turnaround for Manchester United. How are you feeling about it?
So last season, during a very bad spell for, I believe it was already past the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thing, and we were on to, what's his name, Ralph Rangnick.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying They were like, what player from Manchester United would you want at Arsenal? And I stood up for Marcus Rashford. I said, I want Marcus Rashford. And people are like, yo, you crazy. He washed. He's dusty. This and that. And I said, no, man, this kid has skill. I don't think he's the next Thierry Henry, but he has an incredible amount of skill. He's got an incredible talent. And he's one of those players that can change a game with a single run. And now you're seeing that. And it's been absolutely incredible. Even when he don't touch the ball, the guy helps finds ways to help Manchester United win.
He is involved in some way. That was offside, man.
That was 100% offside.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be mad at you for taking points away from City. No, so thank you.
Yeah, Arsenal fans were cool with it.
This is damning. Like, as damning as it gets. This looks like a kanji is scoring.
So this is just a photo. This is from Blue City Brain. I saw this on Twitter. If you look at the screen, so this person did, they removed Marcus Rashford.
If you don't know the context, a ball was passed. Sort of, Marcus Rashford was offside when the ball was passed, and he sort of ran with it but didn't touch it. And Bruno Fernandes came onto the ball and kicked it, scored a goal. If you look at this, they said he wasn't offside because he didn't interfere with the ball. But he clearly interfered with the play. Why? Because if you remove him from this, you can see,
Is Ederson looking at?
Right, he ain't like, Kanye, don't score on me, bro. This is very clearly, he's a distraction.
100%. The assumption you think you're like, okay, well, he's literally on top of the ball. He might as well be doing step overs.
100%.
So to say that he didn't interfere is absurd. We've seen offside calls for looking at the ball from the stands. The ref is like, no, they interfered the goalkeeper.
Get that old lady out of here. She was looking right at it.
So clearly disoriented the goalkeeper, and that is offside.
Hey, Josh from United View in the chat.
Hey, Josh. Hey, what's good? So Rashford not being there, you see Ederson's eye line. You see Akanji's eye line. This was the one.
Akanji is like trying to figure out, can I just go through this guy?
Right. So this was, I saw this, Christina Uncle from CBS Sports. She's
no one better.
Former referee.
No one better at breaking this stuff down.
Broke it down. And so I don't know if she agreed. The way I took it is, I don't know if she necessarily agreed that the call was correct. But based on the way the laws are written, there's like four points that they look for to call offside. And based on the way the laws are written, she thinks that's why it was not called offside. So one of them was interfering with the play.
If he would have faked the shot, offside. If he would have pretended to shoot the ball,
I guess,
it is. Because then you are legitimately causing, you've made an action that is distracting.
One of the main points that she said was that Akanji was not close enough to the ball, which is why Rashford wouldn't have.
Because there's a guy in the way, and his name is Marcus Rashford.
That's how I feel. But again, I'm not saying that this is her opinion, but that's the way she was analyzing.
All she does is tell you here's the rules.
So those are the two things. He clearly was in an offside position. The way the rule is the way it's written is like Akanji. I guess the thought was that Akanji was not going to get the ball. And because Rashford did not touch it, he did not literally interfere because he did not touch the ball.
He did shepherd the ball.
He 100% did. Yeah. It looked like he was shielding the ball from Akanji. That's why I feel like this is a consensus.
Yeah. Also, if this is the way the rule is written, we need to do more of this in training, right? Arsenal needs to do, Everton needs to do this week in and week out.
So, but then. I think this photo is pretty damning. And obviously, Rashford is not in this photo. He has been removed from it. But you look at what Ederson is looking at. Yeah. He's not even thinking Bruno Fernandes is going to affect this play at all. He knows it's offside. But in the scenario where they don't call offside, I'm going to defend the person who's probably going to strike the ball.
And he's on the ball. You can't see it from here, but he's between Akanji, which is the final defender, and the ball. So he's on the ball. You can't turn and look at the guy who doesn't have the ball. You know what I mean?
So that is the interference, right? He is interfering because Ederson is not even looking at the guy who could possibly even receive the ball because he thinks that Rashford is going to shoot the ball. And then obviously we know it reaches Bruno Fernandes and he hits it right over. But Ederson doesn't really have any real time to prepare for the shot that is coming to him. And this is the point.
Could Ederson have rushed the ball?
No. No, because the shot was taken from outside the box. It would have
he's right there.
The pass was
he's at the penalty marker, basically. At that.
But the ball is moving too fast. There's no way. He wouldn't have got there. The pass was so hit so firmly that there's no way he would have even had time to react in that sense.
I don't know.
So, but this is the thing. The call, I believe, I think the center referee called offside, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't see the flag go up.
I didn't see a flag go up either.
I
just know it went to check.
But I know Bruno Fernandes ran over.
And every goal is checked anyway, so it would have been called offside had it been offside by law.
So, but this is the thing, and I think the call on the field was what was significant here because the call on the field was a goal and not offside. And I think...
So, like, if it had been called offside, it couldn't have been overruled.
Or it wouldn't... Not enough evidence, you know, it wasn't clear and obvious to overrule it. So I think that was the bold decision by the ref. I think for the most part, I think most refs call that offside. And for
assistant ref called it offside, says Justin Freeberg.
Okay, so he overturned it on the field. You saw them talking to each other. I'm sure the assistant ref said, "Oh, he didn't touch it," but you know he felt that he interfered with the play. He wasn't in an offside position. It was fairly obvious. And then as soon as Bruno went over there and was like, he didn't touch it, he overturned the call. And that right there, now because it's already, if there's not enough evidence to overturn it, right, they're not going to. And I thought it was a bold and wrong decision to call that a goal on the field when your assistant ref already said it was offside. Poor refereeing, in my opinion. Because this is, to me, nothing also, but 100% interference.
You need to relook at this rule because it needs to be written in a way where if this happens again, this can't be considered not offside.
To me, the rule doesn't need to be rewritten because he was interfering and it was obvious that he was.
So then you need to clearly define what interfering is.
What words can you add to, he's literally over the ball.
Listen, all I know is Arsenal has 47 points. Manchester City has 39 points. And that would not be the same math had this goal been called offside.
Wild. Justin Bieber, the center ref discussed it with the AR and the VAR official to rule it a goal. The VAR official was informed during when they were deciding if it was a goal?
Every goal gets checked. So I'm assuming that check is happening as that conversation is happening. So it might not be VAR as much, unless they're the ones who check the goals as well.
That's interesting. I don't know. I would imagine that the VAR is only involved if the center ref wants their opinion, not just...
No, I bet you, because they have access to every angle, I bet you they're the ones who check the goals as well.
Okay.
You could do two things at once.
Because was this checked by VAR?
What did Daryl used to say? A thing can be two things?
A thing can be two things. Okay. But no... Manchester United, what now, sitting in third?
Manchester United is in fourth. Behind Newcastle, who has played 19 games. So they've played an extra game.
Yeah.
All of them, Newcastle, Manchester United, Newcastle and Manchester United, 38 points. Tottenham at 33. Remind everyone, Tottenham is out of the top four.
So they have turned things around, and they look very, very good. So.
What are the next Manchester United matches?
The next matches...
See fixtures.
Right here. You see on the right side. They play Crystal Palace next, and then
they
Arsenal.
Can easily win that.
And then Arsenal.
Then they're going to lose that.
So
we'll be in Orlando for that game. That's going to be a big game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. Reminder: go register if you're going to be in Orlando. Join us at the Premier League Fan Fest. This is going to be the last topic we discuss today,
bro. So we all remember. Gerard Piqué gets caught cheating on Latin sensation, superstar. People we've basically known someone we've known our whole lives.
Shakira?
Yes, as a superstar.
Yes.
Just a shining, this is
this is all alleged. I don't know, we like not caught this, caught that. We don't know.
Bro.
This is what the internet did you is
not
saying. See
the, did you not read the lyric? Did you not read the song?
Okay.
Let me tell you. So Shakira catches Gerard Piqué cheating with someone who works for his company. Okay. Shakira's 45 years old. She's 22 years old. That became like a big talking point.
Right. And that was part of the song.
Big part of it, right? Mm-hmm. There's also a lot more that I don't know if you know, but anyway, long story short, gets caught. They break up. We don't hear much about it, mm-hmm. right? Now, let me give you also a little context. There's On the Radar, Fire in the Booth, Funmaster Flex freestyles, the LA Leakers freestyles, Sway in the Morning. There's a lot of places that have made this sort of rappers come in and they freestyle, which really means you release a new song, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Some people still do freestyle, but you release a new song. In Latin America, we don't have that. But we do have this guy who's a producer called BizRap out of Argentina. And he has produced some incredible. I think he started with dance music, and now he's producing like trap and drill type music for mm-hmm. Latin America. And he's released some incredible. Quevedo, who you didn't like the song, but it went number one in the world, right?
I hate the song.
You said you didn't like it. You said it wasn't your thing, right? The Anuel. Anuel did an incredible freestyle, right? So BizRap, again, Argentinian. Argentinians are up right now, right? So what a shock that Shakira was going on BizRap. Why would you go and do a Bisa rap, because the guy's name is Bisa, the mm-hmm. producer. Why would you do that if you're not sending for... You also, Residente, did one that blew up.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he was, what was he, sending for J Balvin and Bad Bunny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I think it's just J Balvin.
Maybe it was just J Balvin?
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't have an issue with Bad Bunny. So, they have a song together.
Okay, so he, Residente, beefed with J Balvin, and that blew up. I think it got something like 300 or 468 million views on YouTube. So this guy's a powerhouse. And then I see Shakira's doing it, and I think, well, you don't do this kind of music.
You guys, right? But Shakira got bars?
Yeah, in my head, I'm like, bro, he does rap, right? And he does this one terrible rapper named Natalia or something from Latin America.
Natalia, yeah.
Absolutely horrific.
Not the best.
But hers blew up, because apparently she's very popular in Argentina. She's mm-hmm. Argentinian. So I'm like, she's not rapping, because this is where you really, like, you talk beef. And then I knew, as soon as I saw the photo, I knew. I'm like, oh my God, this is the beef she has. It's Gerard Piqué.
Yeah.
She's about to send for him if we were English.
Yes. So she went off.
Also, did she get a couple fillers or something? Because she, but did they throw questions? She looks like she's the one who's 22, bro. She looks incredible.
Know, she's always looked great.
She's always looked great.
Yeah, yeah. And she's a fabulous singer. Yeah. I love, her first album, her first two albums are literally, I think, some of the best albums ever made in music history. I'm not even exaggerating.
One of the greatest crossover artists during that crossover era.
Right, right. When they were like, we need to spice things right up, add some Latina stuff.
Well, who's the dude who crossed over? The Puerto Rican dude, I can't remember his name now.
Ricky Martin.
And then you had Mark Anthony.
Yeah, yeah, there was that
There
time.
Was like a couple, and they're like, yo, we need a
and
woman.
J-Lo was like, I'm getting in here.
And she's like, but she can't speak Spanish. She's like, yo, but you cross over, you from the Bronx. And then Shakira came through with some of that like Lebanese Colombian swag.
Let's go.
And it blew up.
No, and yeah, I always recommend Donde Están Los Ladrones. If you want one of the greatest albums ever,
album you could read. I'm not letting go of that.
Also, it's incredible.
Let's also not forget, Spanish colonized this. Okay, so there's another layer on top of this, bro. Right? We as Latinos, let's just say we're rooting for the home team here. You know what I mean?
Somebody said, "Rest in peace, Selena." Of course.
Absolute
queen. But Shakira, she dropped this song. And it was pretty clear who she was. You know, she doesn't mention Gerard Piqué by name, but she does. There's a double entendre is what she did. Essentially, she does a couple specific things. She says about, you know, you traded in a Rolex for a Casio.
You traded in a Ferrari, or you had a Ferrari and now you have a Twingo.
A Twingo, okay.
Which, if you don't know, is like saying like a Ford Escort. No pun with the Ford Escort there.
So basically, you downgraded.
Uh-huh.
And then she had a specific line that I thought was brilliant.
But now women are like all over the internet are using this to get at their exes. What right, did she right, say? Right.
But she said, I don't remember the exact line, but something about like you couldn't handle the splash or something like something splashed on you. And the word splash in Spanish, the way you say that word is salpicar.
Salpica.
Salpica. And in past tense, you would say salpique. So I'm like, hey.
But she, new camera angle, not used previous in this video, pointing down, she flicks at the camera.
She flicks.
And it does a little shake thing.
Yeah.
As soon as she says salpique, which also means like leave pica, BK.
You know what I mean?
Like
yeah.
Get the hell out of here, PK. It's just, but the whole thing is bars. Here's the other thing. She says something like, You had 222s.
Right.
I'm worth 222s. So people are saying, oh, that's a reference to the other woman's age.
Yes.
But here's something else you might not know about PK is that he's born on February 2nd, and so was Shakira. So they share that birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he used to celebrate goals, which he didn't score often, is he would hold up two twos.
Two twos, yeah.
So 22. So there's like,
dude, bro, she brought it all.
She called Nas. Nas called a translator, and they sat down and wrote eat the number two together. And that's just one of the things. There's like layers and layers and layers of things that this woman is talking about where she's absolutely destroying this man.
Right. And so
and I do want to say, just in case you're wondering, this has 7.5 million likes. Okay, on YouTube,
the song, mm-hmm.
It has 435,000 comments. Okay, and I cannot find where is the views. Why can I not find that? Oh, okay. Do you want to guess how many views?
I have to
7.5 million likes, 400,000 comments. That's all the clues I'm going to give you.
I'm going to say 12 million views.
More.
Okay, 15.
Way more.
Wow. 80. More than that? No, 120. 120 million?
A little more.
130?
A little less.
125.
126 million views.
Yeah, so look.
This was put up on January 11th. So today's January 16th.
PK is getting flamed, without a doubt. And we, and then this is where I want to give Gerard Piqué credit, because right now he is currently in the middle of his Kings League tournament.
This man has to live stream daily during
this
and through a tournament.
He is literally a Twitch streamer, and he has to go on every day.
And he's surrounded by people who are taking the piss, if you will.
And look, so this is why I want to give him credit, because he has taken this moment and just used it for content sake. He's like, all right.
What else is he going to do? Cry on stream?
He can't attack Shakira.
No. What is he, an Everton fan?
Okay. I mean, PK, don't kick Shakira in the back.
Get her out of the headlock, dude.
You can't behave. So he's doing what I think is probably the best way to handle this. And he's trying to like kind of laugh it off. And I don't know how serious anything is. I mean, if Shakira made this song, I'm gonna believe that the stuff she's talking about is probably pretty accurate, right? So
yeah, you don't work that hard on rhyming stuff,
you're kind of embellishing the story,
right?
So
by the way, Rolex, you said you traded in a Rolex for a Casio. Rolex put out an Instagram ad photo, like a photo of what would be an ad referencing this.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Because you got to. The song has 126 million views.
126 million views, which is 126 million more than our videos
get. That's just on YouTube, right?
That's just on YouTube.
This kind of says, like, yo, Shakira, why weren't you making diss tracks way sooner,
bro? You should have been dissing everybody.
Love song, we don't need all that.
I want to see, does it show plays on Spotify? Because it went number one.
It did, yeah.
And it's platinum.
Yeah. So it's doing well. But so props to PK, because I think he's handling this as well as you possibly can. And here goes.
You got to smile through the pain.
Ya que lo veo, anuncio que la Kings League, un gran anuncio. Casio nos ha dado relojes. Y tenemos un acuerdo con Casio. La Kings League ha llegado a un acuerdo con Casio.
Estás vacilando.
¡Vamos, Casio!
Oye, esto es cachondeo, ¿no?
Esto es broma.
Esto es cachondeo.
No, os lo digo en serio. Toma, mira, aquí tienes uno. Mira, un Casio, ¿vale? Para Ibai. Toma.
¿Para mí?
¿Cómo? Para ti.
Okay, so if anybody did not understand what he's saying, he's saying Casio is now sponsoring Kings League. I have Casio watches for everybody. He is not mentioning Shakira or anything. He is just simply...
He's playing it coy.
He's just being like, yo, Casio, for some reason, wanted to get involved and start supporting.
Why would they all of a sudden?
You love to see it. My phone is ringing, okay? And so pretty hilarious that that this is the way he's handling it. All his friends, Ibai, if you don't know this guy, he's like one of the biggest Twitch streamers in Spain. He is one of the people involved in creating Kings League.
We talked about him when he became the first person to interview Messi when he went to PSG. He got the first interview.
Right. And so he's a big, big personality and a funny dude. Follow him on TikTok if you speak Spanish and care to hear, or even if you don't. So he this was another fun moment with Sergio Aguero, who's involved in this as well. He just played in a match for Kings League yesterday. But this was pretty great too.
Me preguntan, Kun, ¿por qué? Kun, no. Bueno, yo creo que Kun, ¿por qué entró Casio?
Por la canción de Shakira.
No me jodas.
So they're all laughing.
Everyone's trying to talk around the subject. And they say, yo, Agüero, do you know why we got Casio? He's like, oh, yeah, because the song from Shakira. This and this guy right here.
So this is how you know. These are your real homies.
You snitched on you.
They roast you. You know, they just keep it. They just keep it a buck.
So I will say the song is doing very well on Spotify. Not as good as on YouTube, which, again, okay, the whole world is YouTube, and it's not behind a paywall. So I will tell you this much. Her number one song is Hips Don't Lie. Do you want to guess how many spins that has? How many plays that has?
That has to have like over 100 million for sure.
Yeah.
200 million? What? Three? Yeah. This is
keep going. Four? I'll tell you when.
500 million. That's, not a billion. A billion?
Yep. 1.15 billion plays.
I'm going to be like, yo, you got to listen to our early stuff.
I feel like y'all missing out.
Don't be.
But yo, the BizRap Music Sessions has 43 million listens on Spotify.
People love drama, controversy, conflict. That's what sells records nowadays. That's why these rappers... Shakira's going to have a teardrop tattoo real 100%. Soon, bro.
She needs one, bro, because she caught a body on this one, bro.
But hilarious overall. I love the fact that I look, for entertainment's sake, I love the fact that she's doing this. Mm-hmm. It also it is a little bit weird. Just two kids with this guy. And
you've met scorn Latinas before, Christian. This like, might be
mom,
the...
It's like, mommy and daddy, can you just fight like a normal couple?
Yeah, could y'all fight after you make me my grilled cheese sandwich, bro?
So, look, if it got to this point, then it must have been bad enough to make a song about it.
Also, here's the thing. You don't want to cheat on a Latina, and you certainly don't want to cheat on a
what,
Latina.
What races do you want to cheat on, Alexis? But, please, go
let
off.
Me just say this. I ask you, Ukrainian. But here's what you don't want to do is you don't want to cheat on the Latina that happens to be one of the best songwriters in our community.
Nah, bro.
I feel like you might get cooked a little bit.
She got words, bro. Uh-huh. She got words.
That pen to paper is legendary, bro.
The Kirby D said, Hips Don't Lie is my house party go-to. Shout out to my fellow Haitian Wyclef. Let's
go. There you go.
The
talk about say, Kirby. I didn't know you was Haitian.
So the fact that this is the discourse, I think it's great. I mean, and PK's using it to his advantage.
They're both using it to their advantage.
Because
she got a platinum hit, he got Casio and a Twingo.
This is the other photo that we have here. He has the Casio. He also pulled up to the Kings League in a Twingo.
Right.
So
not a bad looking car.
It's similar to like a Cooper Mini type thing. It's a small.
It's like a Fiat. It's Fiat size.
Right. So small. Who is the
Renault?
Renault is the maker. Okay.
Not sold in the U.S.
Yeah, that's why I'm like I heard the reference. I'm like, what's all this about? And then I'm like, okay, I figured.
I thought Google that was. Isn't there a guy named Twingo who's an ESPN guy?
Wingo.
Wingo.
Trey Wingo.
Twingo. Twingo, bro.
Okay, I didn't know if that's his nickname.
I was like, yo, good for him, bro. He's hanging out with PK.
So good on him. Look, he's doing his thing. He's marketing his new business venture, you know, and having fun with it as much as possible.
Right.
So
he's succeeding through failure, and she's succeeding through failure as well.
So, I guess the failure of a relationship. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he has a young, attractive girl now. I guess that's, you know, for every midlife crisis, that's the way to heal things.
Yeah, you got to go out and get a Twingo, a Casio, and a 22-year-old girlfriend.
Okay. That's the triple threat.
Is that what you're going to do?
Anything can
when
happen,
you turn
bro.
55, bro, you're going to start wearing aviator sunglasses indoors?
Okay, my hero PK, if he can do it.
What would PK do?
JG said, I drove a Twingo in Santorini and almost didn't make it up a steep hill.
Yeah. I mean, it don't look that powerful. It might be a 2-3 cylinder engine, bro.
Yeah, bro. Okay. So, yeah, pretty wild. A great, great week of just football,
it
soccer
is
content.
A 1.2 liter diesel.
Damn, bro.
Damn.
1.2 liters?
Yo.
Bro.
I drink more Coca-Cola than that for dinner, bro.
Just get a gallon of 1 gallon of gasoline and just
bro,
put it in.
It's 1100 cc is one of their engine sizes.
Yikes. Okay.
Ooh, a Hayabusa.
I've seen e-scooters with
my scooter, I think, qualifies for more. It goes 0 to 60 in 14.5 seconds.
Damn, dude.
Yo, PK got there late, bro. I know that.
Yo, if Anthony Gordon was driving that, the fans would literally, they would have picked it up.
Little wheel spinning, trying to get out of there.
Real cute, Anthony.
Damn. Save your money.
So, pretty wild week. So, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Another fun episode. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. We're here Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern time. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time here on YouTube. So make sure to join us. We'll be talking all things American soccer, U.S. Women's National Team, NWSL Draft, a lot of stuff going on there.
A couple of trades,
big signings. Or I think I just saw Alexander Collins might be going to Boca.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to Boca Juniors.
You'll see us cry tomorrow. So,
and I don't think NYCFC has enough players to...
we just need warm bodies out there.
I think we're contracted there. I think we might have to play, bro.
So a lot to go over in the world of American soccer. And as always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Subscribe to the Patreon. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Shout out to a couple new folks that joined in the last few days.
Hey, we'll be doing a no cap from sunny Orlando, Florida.
That's right. We will be in Orlando recording a new no cap recap, which is our behind the scenes podcast talking all things not soccer, pretty much. Anything else?
No, that's it. Arsenal, top of the league. Again, what are we, 8 points clear?
Everton, bottom of the league. What are we, in the mud?
Yeah. I hope Arsenal finish the season with a points gap between first and second larger than how many points Everton has scored.
How many points Everton have scored?
Do they score points
or you mean goals? You score goals.
You win
you
points.
Don't, yeah, you win
maybe
points.
Maybe you read points.
Okay, because there's some, you know, the English, they're not too kind when Americans make little flubs like that.
I didn't make a mistake. You just don't understand my Scouse accent.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Follow our personal accounts at Chris Polanco on Twitter, at Christian_Polanco on Instagram.
At Not Alexis on everything. And you know what? Maybe we should get a walking taco while we do no cap recap.
That'll be
Prime. I said I was going to talk about it on the show.
Oh, right.
I had a Prime. Oh, I was going to bring it in too. It was a fruit. It was a tropical punch.
All right.
It is.
This is the Logan Paul.
Yes.
Thing.
Okay. Real quick. Can you look up the nutrition? Cause I don't know what the sweetener is that it has. It is like zero, Prime drink. It is like it tastes like something you would drink.
It's low in sugar.
Yeah, it's low in sugar, but there's something in it. And I don't know if it's up there. Oh, just having to see these people. It's sold out everywhere. I got my hands on it. It does have coconut water in it, which you can't taste, but you certainly appreciate it. There we go. What sweetener is it?
The sweetener is, so it's only 2 grams of sugar, which is great. But the sweetener is coconut water, concentrated citrus. I'll put it on screen so if anybody cares. What is the sweetener?
It doesn't say what it is. I know it's caffeine free, but you do feel hydrated. But let me, I'm going to look into the ISO camera here just so Jamie can cut this. So I finally tried the Prime, got my hands, and I'll put the picture. You can put the picture up. Mm-hmm. Finally tried the Tropical Punch, and it is very rarely do you taste something that so many people are after. You know what I mean? It's like it's all the hey, people are paying 100 pounds for it. And I can tell you, it is horrific. It is so bad. It makes, for some reason, about a third past your lips, so like almost like maybe like an inch past the tip of your tongue back, is coated in this sort of weird chemical film. Pause, by the way. Is absolutely covered in this.
No need for a pause.
It's this odd, distinct kind of thing that makes you want to do that. It tastes so sweet up front. It's the worst of both worlds. You don't like really sweet drinks because when you drink them, you're immediately hit with all this sugar, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't like the drinks you like, which have like stevia or Truvia in them, mm-hmm. because while you're drinking it, it's fine. You're left with an aftertaste of that chemical sweetener of like maybe it's natural sweetener,
but it's
a non-sugar sweetener, right? It's an alternative sweetener, and it's a really nasty aftertaste. So another reason why I don't like Diet Cokes. Okay, this has both of those things, so we would both hate it. Mm. It is insanely sweet up front, almost as if it's like a melted lollipop or a popsicle. And then on top of that, so it's a quarter water up front.
Right.
And then on the end, it's a BAI drink on the end. It's pretty bad.
Okay.
And by the way, I hope to never have to drink it again.
I don't know why it's like sold out everywhere. I guess it's just KSI and Logan Paul are just so famous. Everybody.
Also, it's like Arsenal's drink as well.
Okay.
They sold the sponsorship with Arsenal. So Arsenal has, I believe, replaced Lucozade. I don't know what Arsenal drinking
before. At the very least, look, you see it's low calorie, low in sugar. Yeah.
You do get some vitamins in it as well.
That's pretty good. That's more than most. It's better than like Gatorade has tons of sugar. A lot of other
drinks. Also, a much better flavor.
Maybe.
No, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm here to say Gatorade better, Lucozade better. What's the Body Armor better than this?
Okay.
Send us some money, Body Armor.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that in.
Said it's also somehow thick in taste. It is. The viscosity of it is unlike anything I've ever drank, which is what gives you the feeling that it is a melted popsicle. It is the syrup of a popsicle.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, what quarter wars are. You knew that, right?
Remember the
icy popsicles?
Yes. That's just a water popsicle.
Yes, but the syrup they put in that is what's in a
not surprising. Okay.
Quarter water. Just a quarter water.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Shout out to everybody in the chat. We appreciate you. We will see you tomorrow. Be well, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.